Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Joe. I'm a crystal meth addict and an alcoholic. How's everyone doing?
Hi, Joe.
Basking in the glow of the third step, I hope. So, the structure is a little bit different now. If you notice, well, you will notice. Before we were given the assignment, you go do the assignment, come back, and then we go over it. And now we are going to actually, it's more instructional, and we will be going over what to do and then sending you home to do that assignment. So as you're working with people, you'll notice the flip. It flips a little bit. So like tonight, we're going to go, you already had your list. That was the assignment for after the third step. And now we're going to go over column one and two. And then so after tonight, you'll go home and do column two, bring that back. We'll go over the third column. You'll go home, do third column, bring that back. And so that's how the structure will be from for a little while now through the eighth and ninth step. Does everyone have their four-step packet? Did you guys print that out? Okay, good. All right, because I will be referring to it tonight, and we will be referring to it throughout the workshop. At least the first four resentments on there, really using those. Those are the ones that are in the big book. We'll be using those that are written out in the Big Book Awakening workshop, four-step workshop packet. So hold on to that packet. It's also good, and I'm going to just say this now before I get into it. It's good to utilize the packet and the examples while you're writing inventory. Because a lot of times even when I'm writing inventory, sometimes I can't put a name to something. I can't think of a fear that might be attached to that. I can't think of a sentence that might be attached to that. And I use this example packet, and it's speaking my language. I'm trying to speak its language. And so the things that are on there, I will take directly from there, because it means the same, you know? So utilize it, use it. If the sentence is the same thing, it doesn't matter. I will have the same sentence in my inventory, and it becomes a great tool. It becomes a great tool, especially if you're like me. I wasn't familiar a little through treatment, but I wasn't very familiar with some of the wordage, some of the fears, and some of the delusions that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. So keep that in mind, and please use this and hold on to it. All right. So I just wanted to say, to start out, we have a short reading tonight, and then we're going to get into the mechanics of it, and then we're going to do examples of that. So at the end of the workshop each week now, what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to actually doing some inventory. Anyone who's struggling with something, who wants to write it live in front of the group, we're gonna give you that opportunity so you can experience it, because we really need to experience our inventory that way, okay? And then for me personally, I had done a few inventories prior to BBA. And so bear with me. So before I even got here, it was, you worked the first three steps when you got here. You know, I can't, he can, I think I'll let him. Let's start on four, you know? And so here I am writing inventory with a sponsor that I'm living with, by the way. And we did 12 and 12. Okay, so the first three steps I did was 12 and 12, and it was me transcribing the 12 and 12. And if you're not familiar with the 12 and 12, which I know you might be, the first step in the 12 and 12 was like a page and a half. So I had to transcribe that. And then I transcribed step two, step three, and then I got into inventory. And what he told me was, if you remembered the name of the person, you had a resentment against them. And I said, okay. So go back through your life and think of everyone that you know their name. And okay, so I remember names, right? So I went to school with these people in middle school, kindergarten, middle school, high school. I knew tons of people in my life, because we all went to the same schools. So I'm writing people down. I'm making these lists of people, and I'm just making stuff up. You know, I'm making stuff up. I have a list of like 200 people. And then I start getting into these check boxes, and I just start checking off stuff, and I'm making little patterns, and I'm doing all this stuff. And I didn't even know what I was doing. So here I am, sober, under sponsored direction, writing inventory. And I have no idea why I'm writing inventory. None whatsoever. None. All I know is I was using drugs. I'm drinking alcohol. I got lots of problems in my life. I can't stay sober. I get into the program and they're talking to me about resentments and you got to write inventory. I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? You know, I'm dying here. They're telling me to write gratitude lists. Are you kidding me? I'm not writing a gratitude list. I'm not grateful for anything right now. It's like forced gratitude, you know? Oh, write a gratitude list and then you'll be grateful. Write a gratitude list and then act your way into better thinking. Living this lie, you know what I mean? Like I'm trying to make myself be someone that I'm really not. And I'm trying to force myself, trying almost like to fix my emotions, to fix myself, make myself be happy, make myself be grateful. And I'm writing on this inventory. Don't even know what's going on. You know, I had no idea what connected inventory to why I drink and use, you know, no idea whatsoever. It wasn't until I got to this program, to the Big Book Awakening, and to go through the Big Book the way that we do, you know, this is just Big Book work. The Big Book Awakening is a way of laying out the work in the Big Book so that people like me can understand it and I can really grasp it, because I wasn't grasping it. I had read the Big Book many times in treatment center sitting there, and it didn't mean what it means to me today. You know, so until I got here, I didn't even know what was really wrong with me. The mental, the physical, and the spiritual malady. And that's where it's at, right? Is the spiritual. Looking at the bedevilments. And Tyler went over them again last week. And I just want to just say a few things. The bedevilments, it's the first time I'd ever heard about a spiritual malady. And I had been in and out of the rooms for a long time. In and out of the rooms for a long time. And no idea that I was suffering from a condition that existed before I ever pick up drinking and drugging. It existed while I was drinking and drugging and it wasn't working for me. And it existed sober while I'm sitting in the rooms dying from this disease and the obsession kept coming back and I'm going back out, right? So I'm sitting here with this condition that I know nothing about. And they finally broke it down to me. And the way it was described to me was, and Tyler says it so beautifully, it's like, I can't see the spiritual malady, but what it does is a reflection. It reflects in the bedevilments out here in my life. So inside me, an internal condition, there was a reflection of it on the outside. And I'm mentioning the spiritual malady just because it's going to mention it in what we're going to read, but it's also what we're looking at here. I'm in it here in inventory. I'm dissecting the spiritual malady, and that this, the connection to the spiritual malady, to the obsession, to picking up, to the chaos and the drama in my life, of the unmanageability that I heard in the rooms, of the chaos that was going on as a result of my drinking and drugging, the root of that is in my spirit, right? And that's where it lives. And I can't fix me, right? There's this theme, the idea that I'm like other people, or presently maybe, the delusion that I'm like other people, presently maybe, has to be smashed, that I can't fix me. And each inventory is going to take me to see how desperately I need an act of God in my life, and that I can't fix me, and how I've been running the show in my life, all right? So I get into the spiritual malady, which I can't see, but in this process of the steps, it's like, think of it as, I could look at it another way too. If I'm relying on God, there's another reflection going on in my life too, right? So the spiritual malady is reflecting in the bedevilments, yet there's going to be another reflection that goes on through this process, taking this third step, the decision, this concept of this relationship that's going to come to fruition in the 11th step, right? This three-part relationship that I'm looking at, the father, the child. The father provides for his child, and the child trusts that his father is going to provide for him, right? The director and the actor, the director directs, the actor listens for direction. And the principal and the principal empowers his agent, agent represents what the principal would have him be. And that this relationship, this concept of relationship is going to come to fruition in the 11th step. And that when I look at this, this reliance upon God, that the reflection in my life is going to be completely different. And it's going to reflect in a different way. And I could go through this process and use the promises like checkbooks, like a checklist. And I could look at my life later and look at, what did a simple reliance on God do for me? You know, how is it reflected in my life now today? Because we're so keen on looking at the bedevilments, but look at it in the reverse. Where is it now that I'm dependent and reliant upon God, right? And that is for people, you know, This is a practice. This is a practice, me trying to depend and rely on the power greater than myself. And I'm going to even do that practice through inventory. Because with each inventory, I'm using prayer in every inventory that I'm writing, right? I'm going to God with everything. Because the decision I made this decision in step three, you know, the choice in step two that God is everything or nothing. Then I make this decision in step three. And that was the decision of this relationship with God. And that I'm going to go for this power, all right? seeing my selfishness, my self-will run riot. The theme in this chapter, because step three and four are together here. The theme that Bill's talking about is this director, this actor, this producer of confusion, and I'm all three of them, right? I have to see that self-will that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And I wouldn't have been here. Like, I'm not here on my own. It's not by my own virtue that I'm here, okay? I'm here because self-will has failed me over and over again. Drugs and alcohol have failed me. I could not stay sober. I could not stop. The obsession kept coming back. I'm not here because I woke up one day and decided, oh, I think I'll turn my will and my life over to the care of God today. It's just a beautiful day outside. That's not why I'm fucking here. I'm here because I'm going to die of this disease. I'm going to die. And the way I live my life will kill me. The way I've been living life has killed me, and it has not been working for me. And seeing that my life run on self-will has not been a success, and that I'm going to make this decision to go for more power, right? And the prayer, the third step prayer, is an affirmation of that decision. And like Tyler said last week, and I'm just going to confirm and just reiterate that there's no amen after the third step prayer. That relationship doesn't come to a close until the seventh step. And after the seventh step is when we say amen, you know, but I'm safe and protected in this third step. And from step three through seven, we're going to use this third step prayer and be protected by this power, this relationship with God. And here's where I'm going to start practicing trusting and relying. And it's a practice to trust and to rely. Because what I've been relying on thus far has been myself. And I've seen it all over my inventory. I'll see it all over my inventory, but I've seen it all over my life. And each inventory is going to show me this. So with this theme that Bill's talking about, I need to experience this on paper. I need to experience the truth about me being the director, self-will and riot, and how I'm playing God in my life. And I'm going to see that through this process. And this is why I'm writing inventory, right? I'm writing inventory to get a relationship with this power. I'm writing inventory because I can't fix me, the spiritual malady within. And we are writing this to face and to be rid of it. I'm going to read it in just a minute. But I never made that connection. I never made that connection in sobriety ever until I started writing inventory and I got free from it. And like I said, and like it was told to me, faith is a result of results. And I started getting results from this process. And I now have faith in the process. And I have faith in the power greater than myself. All right. So we're going to start reading. It's a short reading, but there's a lot of information. And I'll probably miss it. And so like you guys, I'll miss some stuff. But Tyler always picks me up. That's right. Tyler picks it up. She don't skip a beat. She don't miss a beat. So, what we did with the transcribing, we're going to, there's instructions here, and I believe it has us transcribe through the third column, but we're not going to read through the third column today. We're only going to read to the second column.
They transcribed up to poison.
Yeah, up to poison. Yeah, poison.
In the bottom of 66. Mm-hmm.
But we won't be reading all that.
No.
We're only reading to the bottom of 64. Okay. I'm going to start reading on the bottom of 63. After the third step prayer, it says, we found it very desirable to take the spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, spiritual advisor, but it's better to meet God alone than with someone who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we expressed the idea of voicing it without reservation. This was only a beginning. A beginning? Are you kidding me? We just did all this work and they're telling me it's only a beginning. It's only a beginning. That I was a victim of the 1-2-3 shuffle plenty of times. 1-2-3 shuffle. It's a little newcomer dance that we do. We do the 1-2-3 and then we go out. Then we do 1-2-3 and then we go out. I was wrapped up in that. This is only a beginning. It says, though if honestly and humbly made, in effect, sometimes a very great one was felt at once. All right, so next we launched out on a course of vigorous action. The first step, which is the first step of action, right? And launching, so if I picture something launching, like a rocket launching, it's not, oh, take your time, you know, it'll happen in God's time, right when you feel motivated. I'm not gonna feel motivated. I think the time is now. God's time is now, okay? I don't think that I did all this work in this book to get to this point to be told or to think that I should just relax and write what I feel like it. No, I'm supposed to get this shit done, all right? My life depends on it. And having seen the first step, the way I've seen the first step, and I'm sure the way you guys have seen the first step, I don't want to wait on this anyway. I don't want to sit here. There's lots of places to balk in this in the steps. The third step is a balking place. The seventh step is a balking place. The ninth step is a balking place. And 10 and 11, we balk too. But this is a very dangerous place to balk, is having done the third step and then not gone further in inventory. Okay. So it says, next we launch the first step of action, of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision, our third step decision, was vital, and vital means life-giving, right? And crucial, a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. So there's a lot in here. So first of which, permanent effect. So when I'm working with someone, I'm going to ask them, are you looking for permanent effect, right? Are you looking for something that's permanent? Or are you just looking for something to take the pain away for a little bit? Are you just looking to get a little money, maybe get in a relationship, maybe get the job back, maybe get an apartment or get the house back, and then you're going to be on your way, you know? Or do you want something that's permanent? I like that word permanent because that gives me hope that I can have a permanent effect through this process. But am I really looking for something permanent, or am I just looking for a Band-Aid? You know? So I'm going to talk to someone about that when I'm working with them. And it says, if I'm looking for a permanent effect, then it needs to be followed at once by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves that have been blocking us. This is why I write inventory, okay? I'm not writing inventory to discover who I am. I'm not writing inventory to discover why I do stuff. I'm writing inventory to face and to be rid of the things that are blocking me. Remember on page 55, it talked about that we're blocked by ego, by pomp, by worship of other things, and I'm blocked from this power. My spiritual malady is blocking me from getting access to this power, and I need to get unblocked from it. In this process of inventory, I'm going to face it and be rid of it. Now, if you ever saw a therapist, I have seen a therapist. I've seen plenty of therapists. I've seen a couple, okay? Couple along the way. In treatment, I had a really good therapist, Dr. Lee. But anyway, the therapy that I have seen, the most a therapist could ever do for me is give me nifty little things to do. Let's say I have an issue with my mom or I have an issue with the relationship. They give me nifty little things to do to cope with that. And then once I do that, and a feelings come up about it, and every time a feeling comes up, I cope a certain way, and then they congratulate me, and then my life consists of me coping with those feelings that come up whenever I'm in that relationship, or whenever I'm dealing with my mother again, or whether I'm dealing with my father. That's not saying that we're doing this to cope. This is saying we're doing this stuff to face it and to be rid of it. Remember, the book told me on 45 that I'm going to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problems. That I'm not the power that's going to solve my problems. That I'm going to find this power that's going to solve my problems. And that we're going to face this stuff in inventory, and we are going to be rid of it. And I think that is a statement of hope right there. But it's also a statement of what I see coming into the program, or what I was taught coming into the program, is, okay, I've worked the first step. I'm powerless. I make a decision that God's everything. I make a choice that God's everything. I make a decision in the third step. I do my inventory. And then in 6 and 7, I work really hard at fixing myself. I find out my character defects. And then every year I'm working on a character defect. And I had sponsorship that would tell me, well, this year I'm working on this. And this year I'm working on this. And they're always working on something. And I have to fix this part of me, and I have to fix that part of me. And that's not what the book's talking about. Right? This is not self-help. This is a spiritual program. All right? Far from it. The delusion that this is a self-help program has to be smashed. And I think that we can all get caught up in that. I've done it myself. Once I went to I was living in Vegas, and I had a little bit of anger problems going on. I was angry all the time. I was just pissed off, you know? I don't know what was going on. I wasn't writing inventory. That's what was going on. Tyler knows, because I wasn't working with anyone for a while. Finally, she hooked me up with Wendy, And I was working with someone over the phone, but I moved to Vegas and I was away from my home group. I was away from everyone. I didn't have anyone around me. And I was like, these meetings suck. Fuck AA, fuck the meetings. You know, and I went through a period of time where I wasn't going to meetings or doing anything. And I had a little bit of an anger issue. And I thought I might have anger problems. So I went to this anger management class. I went to one class and I went in there and it was a meeting. And I remember the therapy leader, she went around and was talking to everyone and everyone shared, and she gave us like these breathing exercises, so whenever we would feel anger about something, that we could breathe through the anger, you know, or we meditate through the anger. And I was like, bitch, if I could control my anger, I wouldn't be here. Like, what is wrong with you? I'm here because I can't do that. And I fucking left that class madder than ever. I needed a support class for that class. But that's what I'm talking about here. We're not here to cope. We're here to face it and to be rid of it. All right. And then it says, our liquor is but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. The causes I'm going to see in column two. The condition in column three. But really, like with my alcoholism, I would have told you that the cause, everything in the second column was the cause of why I was an alcoholic, right? My father was the cause, my mother was the cause, being gay was the cause, all these things are the causes. But really when we broke it down, we went into the mind, into the body, into the mind, and then into the spirit. And I really saw the cause was a spiritual malady that I couldn't do anything about. So just like that, the causes and conditions that I'm looking at, like, We're in the condition. We're in the spiritual malady here in resentment, okay? And fear. There's three inventories here. There's a resentment inventory, a fear inventory, and a conduct and relationship inventory that we call the sex inventory. And these three things I'm going to look at that are a reflection of what is going on with me in the spiritual malady, okay? It says, therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. And like I said, one of the truths I'm going to find the truth of my delusions. So I'm going to see in inventory what delusions are running my life. Okay. I might not find out who I am or find out, see a lot of truth. The truth I'm going to find is the lies that are running my life. I'm going to see delusion. I'm going to see how fear drives illusion and drives my selfish actions and my selfish thinking and my selfish actions. I'm going to see this inventory. And I gotta have a script of self-will. And that's what we're going to have here, is a script. And each inventory is going to be a page in my, is a script in my play. And each person that I'm writing on is another scene in a play. And Tyler's going to go into this next week, of course, when we get in the third column. But each inventory is going to take me to that place. I've seen my powerlessness here, my need for God here, and how I am playing God in this scene in my life. Okay. And inventory, I at work, we take inventory all the time. We take a quarterly inventory. There's other teams that have a monthly inventory. I have to see what's not selling and what's selling, what's not working, and we have to get rid of it. If it's taking up space in the warehouse, we got to get rid of it and bring in the stuff that will sell. If it's lost its value, why am I holding on to it? The next page says, one object is to disclose damaged and unsellable goods to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about value. The value of holding on to my resentments. It's not so much as if it's good or it's bad as if it's working for me. Okay. Is it working for me? And I place value on my resentment. See, I can look back in my life and I could see the resentment that I had surrounding my father and it affected my relationships. It allowed me to treat people like shit in my relationships, because don't you know my dad left me, you know? So then I was abandoned when I was a kid. So that gave me permission. So the value I hold on to that resentment is it gave me permission to act in certain ways, and you would have done it too if this would have happened to you. See what I do with that? That's what I do, is how I place value on my resentments, and now I treat people bad, but I'm a victim here, so I have an excuse. So that's how I've placed value on this stuff, and I have to look at that. And when I'm writing inventory, I might even put on there, what is the value of holding on to this resentment, you know? How is it serving me? Because I do get something out of holding on to them, especially if I've done this process. After I've done inventory, it becomes a choice. it becomes a choice. And I want to hold on to some of them sometimes. Sometimes I'm not fucking ready to see what I did wrong, or I don't want to see what my part was or make an amends. And I know I got to make a goddamn amends. So I'm not going to write on this thing right now, you know? So I'll move ahead like that, and I'll think that way, you know? And I have value there. All right, next paragraph. It says, we did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly through prayer, because I can't be as honest as I need to be. First, we searched out our flaws and our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered as common manifestations. And the common manifestations of self is dishonesty, selfishness, resentment, fear, my conduct in relationships. I'm going to look at all these things. Now it's going to get me to the number one. It says resentment. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. So resentment is just the tip of the iceberg. What I show you is resentment, but what's really going on is I'm afraid inside. And that's what we'll look at in the second inventory. But I show the world resentment, but really I'm scared inside. And we'll see that for really take place in our fourth column. It says, when the spiritual malady, I skipped the line. From resentment stems all form of spiritual disease. This is a spiritual disease. Resentment's a spiritual disease, okay? It's not just what they did to me. I'm mad at them because they did this and that's it. They're telling me it's deeper than that. It's beyond my mind and beyond my emotions. It's spiritual, all right? Beyond my thinking, beyond my emotions, it's something that's spiritual malady that's going on inside me, all right? For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, but we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Now, there's a warning and a promise in that statement. The book just confirmed everything we looked at. Remember, I told you we looked at the first step backwards. The spiritual malady sets up a condition conducive for the obsessions to return. When the obsessions return, we pick up, which sets off the physical craving. What we looked at, we first dug into the physical, then we went deeper into the mind, then we went into the deepest part into the spirit. So the big book is just telling me when the spiritual malady is overcome, we'll straighten out mentally and physically. I will straighten out mentally the obsessions of the mind and physically the physical cravings of the body. When the spiritual malady is overcome. If the spiritual malady is not overcome, I will not straighten out mentally, meaning the obsessions will come back. And I will not straighten out physically because I'm going to pick up again and the physical craving is going to get activated and I'm going to be on another spree. That's what's going to happen. So this is about straightening out the spiritual malady. That's what we're doing here in this inventory process. Okay. In dealing with resentment, so here's their instructions now. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. That's what we did last week. All right. Everyone should have. Does anyone have way over 25? So when I'm working with someone. Okay, just from my own experience, we do grouping. I set them on paper. Okay, I list my resentments. I list people, institutions, and principles with whom I'm angry, and with whom I'm angry. If I was angry at my father 4 years ago and I haven't seen him in a while, I'm probably going to write on him. You know, it's whom we were angry. It doesn't have to be necessarily right here. I circle back in my life, what's in front of me right now. And I do like a ring around my life. And I circle back within the last year or few years and look at everyone that's in my circle and ask myself who hurt, threatened, or interfered with me. That's how I go about it. A lot of people might have a hard time looking at who they're resentful. I'm not resentful at nobody. I would ask them, well, who's interfered with something that you wanted? Who's threatened you? Who's hurt you, interfered with you, or threatened you? And then we can write on that, okay? The list I keep down to 20 to 25 resentments. I don't go over that. There's a lot of grouping that can go on. If I'm resentful at my third grade teacher, I'm resentful at my seventh grade teacher, and I'm resentful at my 12th grade teacher because I failed all those classes. And I could probably put teachers, okay? Teachers that failed me, right? So I can group. resentments together. I would not group family together. What happens with a lot of grouping, I had someone who had 100 or 200 resentments, and we tried grouping a lot of stuff. And what happened is you lose the validity of the resentment. So I have to be in touch with, for me, I have to feel it. I have to know it. And when I'm grouping 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people that I might have needed to write on individually, I might not feel the resentment anymore. And then I'm writing on a cause that doesn't make sense to me. And then I'm writing on a resentment. I'm writing on an inventory that doesn't feel like it's really happened in my life. And I got to see that this is real, all right? Because this is my inventory. And I got to see it. This is a script of my self-will. So we set them on paper. It says we listed people, institutions, and principles with whom we are angry. Second instruction is we asked ourselves why we are angry, all right? That's instruction two. All right, so I'm going to open, let's get into the example packet. Because I'm going to explain some of the cause while we go over the examples. I'm going to read the examples and kind of explain some stuff with the cause. Let's see.
Open up to Mr. Brown.
Yeah. Mr. Brown's the first one. We're going to go to Brown first. All right. So I'm resentful. Are you guys with me? Are you following along? I'm just going to read it first, and then I'm going to explain the target. Okay. It says, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. The cause. His attention to my wife, told my wife and my mistress, may get my job at the office. See, when I'm writing inventory, the cause, I need to keep it very factual. All right. Short and sweet. The more story I write in the inventory, the more I'm right and they're wrong. The more I'm validating the reason why I'm resentful at them. I don't need to know the whole life story when I'm hearing an inventory of someone. I just don't need it. I don't need to connect to it that way. So when I'm hearing inventory, you know the story. So what we're gonna do is I know what happened to me. I know that dirty so-and-so and what they did to me. So I'm gonna take the facts out of what the cause was, and that's what I'm gonna write down, okay? So the facts here was his attention to my wife. He told my wife and my mistress, may get my job at the office. Underneath that, in parentheses, we call a target statement. And I'll tell you where it came from. It's a focus statement. It's easier to write on one statement through the third column than to write on each individual sentence. Does that make sense? So before it would be his attention to my wife. I'm gonna write on a third column on his attention to my wife, and I'm gonna do everything on that. Then I'm gonna write it on told my wife and my mistress and write a third column on that. Instead of doing multiple third columns that way, we could do a target statement and focus on one thesis statement, neon statement, one thing that sums it up and focus on that and write on that one third column. Make sense? So in this case, the target statement is he's after my wife and my job. Simple, right? Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. Keep it as simple as possible. The more simple it is, the more easy it is to read. One statement, one, you know, if you have only two statements, you won't need a target statement, all right? So if you have more than that, three or more statements, because you might have four or five, then we'll need a target. If I find that there's too many statements that are different, I might write two separate inventories on that person, especially if it's like my mother. Because moms sometimes have a big effect on our lives and we have big resentments on them. So if there's multiple things and I can't find a target for it, I might do one inventory on this part of it and one inventory on this part of it. I have split like that, okay? It's up to you. All right, let's go to Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, I'm resentful at Mrs. Jones. The cause, she's a nut. See, it's simple. Bitch. She's a bitch. She's crazy. She's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things there. Summed up, looks down on me for my drinking with her husband and complained about it to others. That's the target statement.
That sums it up.
Huh?
Oh, I said that summed it up.
Summed it up. So when you're writing this, you want to still write out the entire cause, because we're going to use that later. You want to write the cause, and then in parentheses underneath, write a target statement. Make sure that you do that. Don't just write the target statement on the sheets. Okay, so when you transfer over to the sheets, make sure you're writing the cause out, and then in parentheses, the target statement, because we're going to use that in the realization. All right, let's go to my employer. All right. I'm resentful at my employer. The cause: unreasonable, unjust, overbearing. Threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. The target is controlling and doesn't trust me. That summed up that whole thing. So is everyone understanding about a target? Can we do my wife, or we just do the first three? Yeah, we'll do my wife too. Let's go to one more, my wife. I'm resentful at my wife. The cause: misunderstands and nags. Likes brown, wants house put in her name. The target is doesn't want to be with me anymore. All right, that's a simple statement. See, if you look at the cause, he's not doing this whole story of, well, one time when we went to a party, Mr. Brown said this to her and it really offended me. And then it's not story time here. Okay. It's just keep it to the facts. Tyler says, keep it to Dragnet. It's like Dragnet. What are the facts? So that's that on the second column for resentment inventory. Tyler wants to go over some of the self-defeating beliefs. Tyler?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Kind of.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up.
Can you guys hear me, Marie? Hear me now?
You're breaking up a little bit, Tyler.
Can you hear me now?
Still breaking up.
Gosh, that's weird, isn't it? Okay.
Now can you hear me?
Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Is it okay now, everyone?
Yes.
Joe? Okay. If you have printed out the self-defeating alternate belief inventory, okay, I want to show you the difference. You put down your self-defeating belief: I'm not good enough. Okay. And then you look at column two, the cause. You will not use a target. You don't need one in this. It's different. Why do I have this belief? My mother told me this when I was a kid. Why do I have this belief? My mother told me this when I was a kid. Who told me this? My mother. What happened in my past? People left me. People rejected me. My parents didn't love me. Right? That simple. And if you have beliefs, self-defeating beliefs, can become principles, guiding principles of our life. I'm not good enough can hold me back from going for jobs, going for relationships, going for all kinds of things. And you will get free of these if you write on them. And if you don't have any now, you will see them as you write the third column and the fourth column. They will show up. If I'm seeing in the third column a repetitive fear, you know, I'm not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, I will tell them to put that into the self-defeating belief. I would like to have, if Kimberly is on, where's Kimberly? Kimberly?
Yes.
Hi, honey. Do you have a self-defeating belief you'd be willing just to read? Your belief and the cause?
Sure.
Do you have any?
So the first one.
Because we did them, you and I. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. My self-defeating belief is God won't show up for me. The cause: no one showed up for me. I told myself this, and what happened in my past was God never saved me from childhood abuse.
Okay. Do you have another one you'd like to read?
I can read.
You can't read. Okay. If you
no, can. No, I can read it. Something's wrong with me and I'm unlovable. I will never be loved. Why do I have this belief? My parents didn't love me. Who told me this? It was a message I received and I told myself this. I was rejected by friends, family, lovers, and myself.
Good. Thank you so much. Okay, I want to see if Mariana, is Mariana, where's Mariana? Is she on?
Yeah, here.
I'm looking for you, honey. I'm looking for you, and I, would you read a couple of your, beliefs, just the belief and the cause?
My belief is that I'm not good enough, that my life's not good enough. And the cause is that there's something wrong with me. I'm pathetic. I am only good as a friend on a one-to-one basis. I have no value. I am rubbish. I can't do my job properly. Others are better than me. No one cares about me. No one likes me.
That's what one is, that one belief.
You're breaking up again, Tyler.
Causes. I think you read a bunch of. Thank you, Marie. Can you hear me now, Marie? Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear me now. Mariana, can you read one that you filled out on the self-defeating belief inventory? Is that what you read?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. Can you read another one?
Sure. My self-defeating belief is that I need to earn God's love, that he isn't real for me. He isn't personal for me. And the cause is that I don't deserve goodness and mercy. God wouldn't help me. I've got to look after me. I've got to trust myself. God kills. There's a fear that I'm in trouble with him. I'm going to be punished by him.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you so much. And I know you put "who told you that" above them, because we put that, remember?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So for God, my parents were cold and unloving, and Mum used to use God as a way to punish us, to keep us in fear.
Thank you. You guys, did that help you understand? Could you all hear Kimberly and Mariana? Did that help you understand it? It's very self-explanatory, so if you do it and you have any questions, Joe and I are available for phone calls. Okay, so do you have any questions, Helen, on the self-defeating beliefs? Do you guys understand it? Helen, you want to unmute?
I have a question.
Yeah, Vanessa.
Sometimes I think of some as being self-defeating that are maybe not, like I was thinking about work has to fulfill me in every area, creatively, financially, etc. If that has been a not good belief for me to have at times?
Well, I would put work has to fulfill me as the belief. And then I would put in the cause what the rest of what you said.
Okay.
It work has to fulfill me. And what's the cause? It has to fulfill me in every area of my life.
Okay.
Right? And it says, why do I have this belief? Because it's the only thing I believe will fulfill me, whatever your belief is, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And what happened in your past? My parents were workaholics. That's how I saw they fulfilled themselves. I'm just taking a guess. You know what I mean? You guys, you can't do it wrong. Right? Just fill it out what it says, and you will have an incredible transformation through these beliefs that really, I believe, sabotage our joy, our life, our ability to take risks and take chances and have fun and do things. And this will change so much for you. So does anyone have any more questions on it?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
So this is another sheet added to the original inventory we're doing. We're taking a deeper look at it now. Now we're looking at it like, because it totally applies to two new people I added on my inventory list. So I totally get it now.
Well, I can show most people in the cause that of my resentment, I will see a belief system that that person went against.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, wives, husbands never cheat on wives. Well, that's why I'm pissed at my husband, right? But I don't go into it from that. I just let God reveal it to me as I'm doing it. And you may be driving down the highway and suddenly an idea will say, you know what? This belief has haunted me my whole life. I'm too defective to ever be loved. That was one that really haunted me. I thought something was so defective in me that I would never really be loved. And when I wrote on this, which was years ago, I got changed. I don't have that belief anymore.
So we're going to be writing these inventories, and then we're going to go and look at the self-deceptive beliefs that are attached to it and then get rid of
it. No, you're not. Your self-defeating beliefs may not be attached to the inventory you write. The inventory you write may reveal some to you, but don't intertwine this. Okay. Ask God to reveal to you any self-defeating beliefs that are sabotaging your life.
Got you.
And just to clear something up too, if you have a print, if you're like resentful at money, or you have a principle that you're resentful at, you're still using the original resentment sheets. There's a separate sheet for the self-defeating belief.
Self-defeating
belief. Yeah, that's
separate. So if you have like, I'm resentful at love or hate or honor, you know, then you're going to put that in still a resentment inventory sheet. Okay. Does that make sense?
So what about something like those things like we might have heard as kids, like if you want it done right, do it yourself.
That's a self-defeating belief. That goes on the new one, the self-defeating belief inventory.
Anna, could you repeat what you said about the self-defeating belief and how it shows up against the person in the resentment?
Oh, no. I don't want to get into it, because I don't want people to take off on this, because this is further down the road, and I'd rather talk to you about it on Sunday. You know what I mean? And I don't want to get people, I just let God reveal to you the self-defeating beliefs as you are doing this. And as you are, you know, driving down the road, you will remember things that, like Joe said, I think you said, Joe, not good enough. You have this haunting, this underlying haunting deep within you, that you have these ideas, you know, I'll never be successful, I'll never be loved, all of these things really sabotage our lives, and we can get free of them through self-defeating beliefs, okay? So I'm going to return it to Joe, and Joe's going to write some inventory with all of you. I'll be happy to write some principal inventory when Joe's done.
Well, we're both on, we'll both help, but I just want to say too, don't forget, you're using prayer when you're making your lists.
Yes.
So you've already prayed, you've made a list. I don't want people to think, if you're hearing something different while we're speaking out in the workshop, that you're like, oh, I have to write on that too. You know what I mean?
No.
Trust your list. Okay, you have your list. So don't feel obligated to go different than that. You'll see self-defeating beliefs through inventory. So if you don't have any on your list now, don't worry, they're there. Like you'll have them later. So don't think, I don't want people to get in this attitude of it has to be perfect. Inventory, not
Joe, perfect. Huh? I just want to say that's so right. You know, that Mariana and I talked about it, that you guys, get out of your minds the idea that if you don't do this perfect, you will not get the result. That is a lie. God is gracious. He covers you. You don't have to do it perfect. God is perfect. You don't have to be.
And don't create things that aren't there. Yeah. I got a mind that will do that. I'm just saying, you know, don't be like, oh, I want that one too. That one sounds great. You know, so don't feel like trust what you've already written. You know, go with what you've been guided to. As someone told me, they prayed about it, they made their list, they had 19, they're set. So, you know what I mean? Like, you're set, do it, you know? That's what we're doing. So,
the only thing you may add is some self-defeating beliefs, but let's write some inventory.
Yeah.
Joe, so just a quick question. I never did the self-defeating beliefs before. And I mean, actually, Tyler, you know, because we didn't do this the last time I did it. And that's some of the things that have been coming up. And so this has really been great.
But that was what, 7 years ago?
8 when you and I did it the first time, but I've been through 2 workshops between then with both of you. So we hadn't talked about that until this
time.
Well,
I did it. So. I've done it in the last workshops.
So some of the things I'm seeing is they're coming up. And so I actually pulled out my old inventory this week and I'm seeing not that not good enough and things like that. And I don't have nearly as many resentments this time as I thought I would. Does that make sense?
Don't look at your old inventory for self-defeating beliefs.
I'm not, but it was things that were coming up from the past that are that have been present for me. That's what I was looking at, that I keep seeing.
I don't recommend to look at your past inventory because I let God reveal to you what needs to be on it presently.
Well, I did that. And I'm just saying, I remembered these other things that keep coming up. So that's why I kind of like
good, honey. What do you remember? What's the self-defeating belief?
You know, they're not good enough, not smart enough, things like that. You know, I've been
okay, well,
in school,
that's too
like,
there. I'm not smart enough and I'm not good enough. Those are 2 separate beliefs.
Right. Okay.
That's good. Good to write on.
Thank you.
Does anyone have one they want to do, a resentment?
Does anyone want to write an inventory, the cause with Joe at a group level and everyone listen?
I do.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
My name's Dean. I'm an alcoholic. I choose to do this one, please, Mr. Joe, Jesse. Okay. I want to do God.
Okay, what is your cause?
She doesn't know.
I know why I'm mad at him. Oh, yeah.
What happened? Why are you mad?
I'm mad at him because he killed Pooey. And I had to sleep in my car, my mom's car, when I was 6 or 7 years old. I did not like that. Pooey was my daughter.
I know.
So I'm mad at him for those 2 reasons.
Just put it down.
Those 2 won't need a target statement.
Mm-mm.
You could just put the death of my daughter and being homeless.
Okay.
Sleeping in the car.
Yeah. So that's what I would
Good put. One, D.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, baby. Who would like to write one with Joe?
Robert.
All right, this is just a self-defeating belief. If I had my own shop or my own business, essentially, that I would fail. So I've never stepped out and never attempted it because I just assumed that I would fail. So that's a belief that's been with me for, you know, a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tyler.
So fill it out. So why do I have this belief, honey? Why do you have it?
I guess because I've kind of dipped my toes in the water and have just felt the weight of it and how much room there is for error and just haven't really felt like I've had any success with even little attempts of it. So I don't know the best way to word that, but.
Can you say the self-defeating belief again?
If I had my own shop, I would fail.
Your own shop.
Yeah, like my own auto. So
business. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, just, you know, trying to take on extra work here and there and do things on my own just seems to be not successful. So I back away from it.
So why do you have this belief? Is it because you don't trust yourself? You don't believe in yourself? You don't think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would screw it up.
Well, that's why you have it. I feel like I would screw it up. That's what you put down. Why do you have this belief? Because I feel like I would screw it up.
Oh, okay, so it's that simple.
Yes, that's always the thing with inventory. It's that simple. People are like, okay, and so who told you this? Yourself or anyone else? Where did you get any of this from your family as a child that you can't accomplish things?
I'm sure to some degree that's there. I don't know how much. I feel like it's more something that I do to myself.
Okay, then when it says who told me this, say yourself. Okay. And what happened in my past?
Oh, you know, I don't know how to say no. And so I let myself get overloaded and bogged down with things. And that feeds into the partly why I have the belief as well, right? I'm not able
there to. There you go. That.
Okay. So
that's good.
Just break it down like that. Okay.
Yeah. Keep it simple. That's good.
Okay.
Anyone want to write one with Joe?
I will.
Okay.
I am resentful at Carol, a cousin of mine, for judging me when I was caring for my mother and listening to untrue gossip.
Sounds like you got it, Marie.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
And screw Carol. And you know what I want to say? Also, make sure you guys are feeling it. Like, this is not the time to make excuses for these assholes, okay? So I'm not going to write inventory to my mom and go, well, you know, she was really going through. No, fuck her. You know what I mean? She should have been there for me, you know? So make sure that you're in it. You're feeling it and no excuses for these people. Okay.
Okay. That's
it.
Thank you, Joe.
Who wants to write one with Joe? Ryan, we're glad you're here, honey. And Felicia, we're glad you're here. I wish you were live, though.
I'll write one.
If anyone wants okay. to go over more self-defeating, too, speak up. Go ahead, Norma.
Yes, I am not smart enough. I heard that when I was younger.
That's a self-defeating belief.
Yes.
So do you have the inventory in front of you?
The inventory is I am resentful to I am resentful at Tante Helen, my auntie, for telling my other auntie that my sister was being put behind, that she was always looked over, mm-hmm. and that I was the one that always had the advantage. Yeah, that's what I'm upset about with my aunt. That's
well, you explained it, Joe. This is regular inventory.
I know. I was grabbing a paper. So your auntie, you're upset. What would be the? She overlooked.
She explained it perfectly.
She overlooked you. Is that what she said?
No. She was telling my other auntie that my sister was overlooked and that I was the one that had the advantage always. So what would happen is that my sister would get all the pity and I would get the shitty, in my adulthood, shitty, treatment from my aunts.
Gotcha. So say they didn't treat you
fair.
Like, fairly, yeah.
Right.
So they treated
me. They favored, who did they favor?
They favored my sister.
Okay, so
they favored my sister over me. So my aunties favored my sister over me and didn't treat me with the respect I deserve.
Right.
That's what I would write in the cause.
Cause. Okay.
Cause. Yes, sweetie.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Anyone want to write one?
Joe, I'll do one.
Okay.
My dad.
Okay. What happened with him?
Irresponsible parent.
Okay.
Could never get off drugs.
Okay. Anything else?
He was a liar.
All right.
Sorry, I just lost my dad a couple months ago.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Dylan.
So would there be anything about him?
Do you resent him because he died before you could have a relationship with him?
You know, I think... because of my sobriety, I was able to be there for him the last couple of years of his life. I do resent him for his death, though, because I feel that he just wouldn't take care of himself.
He caused his own death.
Like, he didn't have to die so young.
That's, put that down. He didn't have to die so young. I resent him because he didn't have to die so young. That seems part of it. That's really good.
I have a question.
Selfish.
Wait, let's finish this one first. Go on.
His irresponsible parent could never get off drugs. He's a liar. He died. He didn't have to die so young, and he was selfish. So when you're looking at this, I would say, well, how would you, if you're thinking of him and you're thinking of all these things, like the cause at once, like how would you sum them up?
I don't know if Dylan got it all out. I mean, you can write more, Dylan. This is a really important one.
And if you needed to do, this is where like sometimes I would split and do two. Like I have done in the past where, okay, the drugs, the lying, and the irresponsible parent would be like on one, and then my father leaving me and not having a relationship with me would be on another, you know? Or they kind of go hand in hand because being on drugs, he chose drugs over you, you know? Like I was never able to have a relationship with my father because he was too busy doing drugs. He chose drugs over me, and then he abandoned me before I could ever be with him, you know? So like that would be like a target there. I would look at abandoning me before I could be with him and chose drugs over me, you know? So like that would be something that I would look at to write on. I mean, I know there's a lot more probably there. So what are you thinking?
I think that, I don't know what I think. Did you freeze on me?
No, I'm here.
We'll work with Joe one-on-one on it.
Yeah, we'll talk one-on-one about that one, okay?
Great.
Okay. Who was speaking up during Dylan?
Norma spoke up. She had a question.
Right, I'll call it.
Breaking up, Tyler. Speaking. Can hardly hear you.
Norma, go on, honey. What's wrong with my phone? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
So if Norma's not speaking, Norma, are you speaking up or is Ryan? Ryan?
Ryan.
Okay,
yeah.
Ryan. Go ahead.
You still doing the self-defeating belief?
Yes.
Running. Yeah. Okay. I'm not a real man.
You're not a real man. Why do you have this belief?
A real man that does construction can remodel his own home.
Okay. And do you have the self-defeating belief inventory in front of you?
No, I'll get it real quick.
Well, I'll read it to you. Okay, you already said, why do you have the belief? Who told me this? Yourself?
Myself.
What happened in your past?
I'm afraid to do projects outside of my scope of trade.
There you go. That's all you need to write.
Do things I don't know how to do.
Good. That's all you need to write.
Yeah.
Yep. Just, we're only doing the cause. So you can download it on the self-defeating alternate.
No, I have it. It's in front of me right now.
Okay, honey. You see it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've used that to do the homework.
Good.
Self-defeating belief list.
Good. Good, Ryan. And you're working with someone. Okay, good. Anyone else have any they would like to read with Joe or myself?
Yeah, I have one. This is Norm Alcoholic. So I'm just wondering if I, you know, revisit some of these because I'm not using my old inventories. I'm just starting from new, but God's still revealing some things to me. One of them is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter. And I'm resentful of that because she hates me. She calls somebody else dad. She, you know, doesn't let me in her life.
Okay. Now,
I'm rewriting this, Tyler, because like this is old because reconciliation has happened, but there's still some things I think I need to look in there. So is that something I should do or should?
If you've asked God to reveal to you your first column inventory, yeah. First column of inventory, and he's revealed that to you, you need yeah. to trust that.
Because I, you know, I feel like that, you know, my first time around through this, that maybe I missed some. So I'm like, I just taken it fresh. You know what I mean? I didn't.
It's fine. Yeah. Just try to take it fresh and not do it from your memory.
Yeah.
And then that target would just be, she doesn't want a relationship with
me. Yeah. There you go, Joe. Thank you. That's what it is.
But he, doesn't she have one with you now?
Oh my God. It's like, it's beautiful, man. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's yeah. Well,
I think you need to write truth. And so I'm confused about why you're writing from the perspective of the past.
Okay.
You say there might be something there, but if I don't think you're going to find it by writing from what you're not really experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So right. When you look at it and you say, I still resent my daughter, why do you resent her today?
No, I did. And so I'm just like, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You hit it right on the money. Why am I writing for the past? So, you know, it's like, that's a reconciliation today. So I might just scratch that off my list because.
I wouldn't scratch it. Nope. I wouldn't scratch it.
Yeah, I think it relates more to your principal inventory because I always thought I was never good enough and all that kind of good stuff. So,
well, we can use the word hurt, threatened, or interfered with when we write inventory. Also, how did that person hurt, threaten, or interfere? How did she hurt or threaten or interfere with your place as a father?
Yeah. Oh, it's all my fault. I mean, like, I own it. You know what I mean? It's like we flip the page and it's all on me. But you know what I mean? It's it's kind of personal stuff we're talking about. So like I'm not saying I wouldn't share here openly, but you know, this is one of those, these are some of those deep places because I also have, I can switch it up. I have a son that I don't even see. So that one's definitely gonna be in there, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would pray and ask God to reveal to you what needs to go in the cause with your daughter.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a belief.
Did she come up in your 10 relationships that you had problems with that you went to God with?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she does. But the problem was is it's still communication. It's a struggle, but it's like a gradual thing.
There you got it. I resent her because communicating with her is a struggle. It's that simple.
Is she still calling someone else father?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, right with me there. And I'm, you know, I've understood that and accepted that for what it is. Like, we now have a relationship, so I move on with it. You know what I mean? But it bothers
me. Maybe you haven't moved on deep inside as much as you think.
Yeah.
You might still resent that she calls someone else father.
Yeah, very good point. Okay.
Thank you. I see two good things. Yeah, two things that could be there. Who would like to write one?
I have a question. Can I put the C's as having a resentment to it?
Yeah, like alcoholism.
My mom getting a stroke.
Oh yes, absolutely. I resent my mom getting a stroke.
Yeah.
And then the cause is death. Why do you resent it? Joe, take it.
Yeah, it cost her death.
Because she died. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good one, Norma. That's good, honey. What a beautiful mom you had. And she's still beautiful, but she was beautiful. Oh my gosh, magical. I see that, Felicia. I see that heart. Isn't it true? Did you see a picture of her mother? Oh my God, her mother was gorgeous. Anyone want to write one?
Or anyone have any questions?
I want to tell you, wait, I want to just say one thing, okay? When someone has a very major resentment, I want to share with you how I've divided it. When I'm first working with someone or anytime, and let's say they have a resentment, it's a woman, she has a resentment to her husband, and it's a lot of resentment. I will have her write 3 resentment inventories, 1 on her husband as a partner, as her husband, 1 on her husband as a provider for the family, if I see stuff there, right? Okay. And 1 on her husband as a father, if she has children. So there's 3 resentments, 1 as my husband, 1 as financially and the provider, and 1 as the father. And this will get deeper into revealing what needs, you know what I mean, Donna? What needs to be revealed. I only do it when there's major things, you know what I've seen? And I know that person needs to go deep and it needs to be very thorough, which all of it needs to be, but I can get very deep and thorough with that. And I've done it many times and it really works well.
So I just wanted to ask
go on, honey.
About guiding people through, but is that okay to ask right now?
Oh, yes, of course.
Because I noticed, and Norm, I hope it's okay if I kind of use you as an example, but with parents and kids especially, like a lot of women that I take through, they have a hard time doing what Joe was saying before, right? Like, I love this page because I get to be all of me, 60 to 63 or 60 to 62, right? Like, I get to like let it all out. But I find that especially with parents, but not just with parents, but other people too, there's a lot of like, I mean, they mean well, and you know, I love them, and like all that stuff. It's almost mm-hmm. like a fear of just letting it out, like really letting it out. And yeah. I'm wondering if you guys have some helpful like ways of like getting people to really just dump it, you know, like just let it, like I often give the example of how one time when I was really, and this was even before, you know, I was really doing this work, but like my mom was coming to visit and we had such a horrible relationship at the time that I really was like, I just want, maybe it would be easier if she just got hit by a car and died. And of course I didn't want that, right? But it was like revealing that to someone. And so in the same kind of way, just being able to get, because that's what we're doing, is like excavating and getting all the stuff out that we're not, that it's so important to put those little tiny voices in the back of our heads down on the paper. But I'm like, I guess what I'm asking is like, is there anything that you can advise in terms of helping to like help someone feel safe to do that? You know, like it's okay to do that here.
Well, it's saying to me, you know, it sounds like that you're afraid that, you know, you're doing something wrong to express how you really feel about your parents, and you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing it so that you can get right. Mm-hmm. You're doing it so you can love them, sincerely love them in the way that you can love them, because you are blocked by all of this stuff to have that kind of deep love. And when I show them where they're headed with it, they usually feel much more safe, you know what I mean, to do it, that no one's going to be, God's not mad at you, mm-hmm. you know, your parents aren't mad at you, because you're doing it for the right reasons, because you want to be free of it and be able to love them in the present.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Also, when you're working with them, you can, like how Tyler will ask questions. So mm-hmm. asking questions and then rewording it kind of for them. Because mm-hmm. they might word it in the nicest way. And then if you word it in a very direct, like, well, this is the fact mm-hmm. that happened. They treated you like,
you know, and asking them the questions, were they there for you as a child? Mm-hmm. Did they show up at your stuff? Did they, you know what I mean? Did you feel loved by them? Did they nurture? You know what I mean? I start asking questions because, you know, we've done it so much that.
Yeah. And yesterday I was working with someone on their third column, and she said when she was saying her third column, I really heard pretty clearly some self-defeating beliefs.
Write it down.
Is that okay to kind of suggest it?
That's what I do. You're going to hear it in the third column so much. And when you hear it, tell her, you know, I'm hearing this.
Okay.
I'm hearing the self-defeating belief. What do you think? Let's write it down. Okay. Yeah, because it's so many times the sponsor hears it before they hear it.
Mm-hmm. And then she can pray on it, and I can encourage her to pray on it and all of that.
Well, if you hear it, you hear it. Put it in the first column. Don't wait to pray on it. If you hear it, it's there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She knows. She'll know right away. Okay. You know what I mean? And you'll hear it. Because we want to help them get free. Go on, Robert.
Okay, so I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this one that we just went over. That if I had my own shop, I would fail. And I just remembered another resentment that I had on an individual. And I wrote inventory, and he's in this inventory, and I wrote inventory on him before, and I've done a step 6 and 7, and I still just can't stand this guy. And I just realized, like, my question is, does this ever come about from writing like a self-defeating belief? Are you able to actually connect reasons why you have resentments towards certain people that don't make sense?
Well, the guy that you have a resentment against, I'm sure in the cause you see that it makes sense.
Right.
You're not writing that he's the best friend I ever had.
Right.
Right.
Well, and it's so another part to this is, I've even said this before, if it wasn't for parts and parts departments, I would have owned my own shop a long time ago, because the pain in, you know, just rounding up parts and getting things organized. This guy happens to be a parts guy. And I just like connected those things. And it's, so I'm just wondering, do you ever make,
you may make a connection between the self-defeating belief and an inventory that might reveal more truth to you about the resentment inventory, which you can then put on it. Does that make sense?
Okay. But so, it doesn't, it, that there's still a resentment there that needs to be written on specifically though.
For the guy?
Yes.
Yeah, but you may add something to it. Yes, okay. Write on him again, but you may get some more truth about him from your self-defeating belief. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Correct. And but so, Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
So, I don't know if this would be a principle or and Vanessa kind of brought it up and Joe did earlier. So my dad's 90 and he was a very powerful, strong, important man, but he's lost his memory. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hurt, but who am I hurt by? Or am I just hurt by the principle that my daddy, who was always so strong and powerful, is no longer?
Well, I didn't get into this because I really don't like to use it that much. But in the third column, we're going to look at how people have hurt, threatened, or interfered with us. And I see that your dad, you feel hurt by your dad, even though it wasn't purposeful that he did this, but you're still hurt.
Yeah, I am hurt.
So but I would put him in the first column. Instead of resentment, he's hurt you. I don't see it as a self-defeating belief. Do you, Joe?
No.
He's hurt.
You're pissed at him because he lost his memory and he's not there.
It's a resentment. And I think when your dad's so frail, Annette, and when a parent is so frail, it is sometimes hard to acknowledge that we resent him. You don't resent him as much as what happened to him and how that affected you. And you can put that in the cause.
Or like, I think you might be asking, is it a resentment against like dementia or a resentment against Alzheimer's? Like,
or a principle like dad should always be there for me.
Well, that will come out in third column.
Okay. So, well, if it's a principle that dads never, you know, parents or dads never get older, they'll be, my father will be there for me the rest of my life. That can be a belief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you flip the roles for the wife the same way you did for the husband? Like, how would you go about?
Well, you can, who's asking? Yeah, you can flip the roles for the wife the same as the husband. What I want to also do, I want to tell you, yes, it wouldn't matter. I resent my wife because if there's a lot of resentment on the wife, right? I may write 2 or 3 inventories, one on my wife as my wife, one on my wife as a mother, and one on my wife as contributing to the care of the household and finances. Does that make sense, Robert?
Yes.
What if the wife's the provider?
Well, then you resent her for not being a good provider, but she may be a joint provider. Not joint, not smoking a joint, but a joint provider. Because if she's a joint provider, you won't resent her. does anybody, I mean, I know I'm cracking myself up here. Do any of you, John, Don, Jerry, Chris, any of you guys have any questions? Is this helpful to you, hearing us do this?
Reed's in the house.
Yes, I got one, Tyler.
Okay.
Very helpful, by the way. It's on my son, Casey.
Okay, yes.
And the cause is relapse on heroin, keeps using, doesn't ask for help, plays a victim card.
Oh, that's, yeah. Plays the victim card would be the target.
Okay.
I think, because that's kind of the essence of the whole problem. I would put those three, and then, don't you think, Joe?
Yeah, but when you're writing your causes, like relapsing and keeps using heroin, those are kind of the same thing. So like,
well, yeah. I would still write them separate though.
I know, but make sure you're not, I'm using it as an example of like other people, if they're writing a cause, you could have the same thing written over and over again in there. So you kind of want to make sure that those are like, you're not overdoing extra work, you know? But yeah, absolutely. Tyler was right on that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Anybody
How
else?
How many
have
times
any?
You said that, Joe?
I have one, Tyler.
Yes, honey. Let's do it.
this is a limiting self-defeating. I am fearful that my coaching business won't grow. Well, I won't be successful as a life coach. Why do I have this belief? Because I'm too old to start a business now. Mm-hmm. Who told me this? I'm telling myself this. What happened in my past? I'm used to working for other people, not working on my own.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think why do I have this belief also is, you know, of working by yourself.
Yes, because it's a lot of things. I've got to do my own marketing. I've got to do my own this, I've got to do my own this.
It's really good you're writing on it. You're going to get a lot of truth and you're going to get moved beyond it. That's the idea, that I get moved beyond these beliefs and they don't haunt me. You know what I mean, Felicia? You know how you have these beliefs that you wake up in the morning? You know how, you know when you wake up and like Mark says, the vultures are at the end of the bed? You're going to lose your relationship. Yeah, they're not going to pay your finances. You're going to go broke. You're going to lose your house. You know, and they're the vultures are at the end of the bed, and those beliefs can be overcome.
Absolutely.
Joe?
I'm here.
Anybody want to, it's 8:30 and.
So the homework. Are we done?
I want to go over the homework. I want to give you what assignment it is, the homework. Okay.
Can I give an example? I just thought of one.
Yes, you can.
That actually is related to what Donna, I think it is, because I'm in mm-hmm. the same business. And thank God I got past this one through some inventory, but it was that I can't do it alone. And it was because I had always at least had a partner. So I believed mm-hmm. I had to at least have a partner. I couldn't do it by myself. And through inventory, ultimately, I realized I wasn't alone. God was my employer. Mm-hmm. I had what I needed, but it took this process. Mm-hmm. But that was definitely a huge self-limiting belief for a while.
Are you going to use it and put it in the call?
No, it was one from prior. I was just sharing that this process definitely worked.
Did it help?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good. Because I'm going it alone.
Good. That's great. Okay, you guys, we're going to wrap it up. I want to tell you that your assignment is assignment 14 in the sponsorship assignment guide. There you are, Ryan. Good to see you. Hi, honey. Good to see you. Assignment 14, and we will just do everything that it says, which is in your AA book, read the bottom of page 64, read page 55 in the Big Book Awakening, put a name on the top of each resentment inventory worksheet, complete a second column, the cause, like the one on page 55 in the BBA, put the, on the, and the sample packet, put the cause on the top of your, of your pages in, this doesn't even make sense. Put the cause on the top of your copies. Oh yeah. Copies on as per page 57 in the BBA. Make sure you do the target. So that's your homework.
You're transferring over to the worksheets and doing that.
Yeah. 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 It's
and on the worksheet, like you see, it's the top is I'm resentful at, that's column one, the cause, column two. So you're going to do the cause and the target statement as the homework, and then transcribing. I think you should have already transcribed up to what you need to next week too.
There's no transcribing. You should have done up to the bottom of page 66, poison.
Mm-hmm. And then next week, Pat will be going over the first four in the
The first four in the third column.
Third column.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crucial time. So I see that everyone's here tonight, but this is where people drop off in the workshop. And this is where people will fall behind. Try and stay up on the assignments. Try and stay up with the workshop. If you stay with it, you'll finish. If you get behind, you might not. That's just the way it is. It's just my experience. So usually workshops, I'm surprised everyone's here tonight. Usually they've dropped already like 5 or 10 people. So
yes, but also they're usually much bigger, Joe, than this.
Yeah, I've had small ones too drop. So kudos to all of you people for being here. And I really appreciate you guys still showing up and doing the work. So good job, everyone. Thank you. And thank you for letting me share tonight. I think we should close with the third step prayer. I'm going
to
use the third
step. And I want to remind everyone that Joe and I are available to help you with any things that you're struggling with. Please call us if we can be helpful.
Does someone specifically want to read it, or I can? Anyone want to read it? Third step prayer?
Just assign someone.
Third Robert, step will you read it? Robert, will you read it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness
to those I would help.
Hold on. I thought I had it memorized perfectly here.
It's okay.
And I screwed it up.
Page 63.
Yeah.
You're awesome, big sister Kimberly.
And now. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Awesome.
Hey, thank you, everyone. Happy birthday, Vanessa.
Thank you, Joe.